to the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
John 14, look with me if you brought your Bible. The King James says in verse number 16, I will pray the Father, Jesus is speaking. He's talking about after his ascension. I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Comforter. He'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. How many of you know he didn't leave you in your test or your trial? He's there forever. Even the Spirit of truth. So now we know who this comforter is, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knoweth him. See, they don't receive what they can't see. They walk by sight, not by faith. But we can receive him, even though the world cannot receive him, because the world sees him not. Neither know, they don't know him, but you know him. For he dwells with you. He's talking to him before redemption, before the shed blood was shed. He said he dwells with you and he shall be in you. Because of the shed blood and Jesus' ascension to on high and him sending the Holy Spirit back, now he comes not to just be with us, but to be in us. Amen. Praise God. Bible said we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. He dwells with us and shall be in us. That shall be is now today. He is now in believers. He lives in every born again child of God. Shall be in you. I could get stuck on any of these statements, but we got to keep moving, and we'll get to some things. I will, verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Let me go back to verse 17, because I just can't get past something here. It should be a part of your regular confession that I know him. Notice he said, he dwells, but the world cannot receive him, neither know him, but you know him. That should be your confession. I know him in all he does. I know him in his guidance. I know him in his comfort. I know him in his instruction, in his teaching. I know him in reminding me of things that I've forgotten. Now listen to the Amplified, because the Amplified brings out the sevenfold meaning of the word comforter in the Greek. Amplified says in verse 16, I will ask the Father. John 14, verse number 16. I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another comforter. Amplified goes on and describes this meaning of the word comforter. It's the Greek word paraclete, or parakletos, really, in the Greek. And it means, in the Greek, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. So if he's going to be in us and never leave us and be with us forever, then he's in there in the whole, every test and trial you go through, he's right there. He's there to comfort. He's there to counsel. He's there to, give you help. He's there to help you intercede. He's there to advocate for you. You know, you hear about advocates for, freedom of speech, or advocates for this or that, or, healthy living or whatever. There's the word that we hear, that word advocate. That means they're a spokesperson for it. They're always pushing it. They're always advocating for it. They're big on that. And the Holy Spirit is your advocate. Amen. He'll speak up on the inside, and he's big on all that Jesus provided for you. He's big on that. He said, here, remember what the Bible said. Remember what I told you. Remember, and he's big on what belongs to us. He's big on getting you into it. He's your biggest fan, to be honest with you. I know that's a human term, but that's the way we use that. He's big on helping you out. We could spend a lot of time on that. But strengthener, standby, all those things. And so what we find then is that Jesus ascended to the Father. He said, here, I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter. Let's go over to chapter number 14, verse number 26. And he said, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. So you ought to underline these things and say, this is how I know the Holy Spirit. I know him in teaching me. I know him. See, it shouldn't be that you walk around through life like you with a question mark over your head. The Holy Spirit's not the spirit of questions. He's the spirit of answers. Well, what am I going to do? People ask that, what are we going to do? Well, you're going to look to the greater one within you. That's what you're going to do, because he's got the answers. He's got what you need to put you over. Oh, and he'll rise up in you if you'll look to him. And so that's another verse there. And let's go over to the 15th chapter. We're just going to read several of these. 15th chapter and verse number verse number 26. It says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father." Notice that. When he gets to the Father, he's going to send the Comforter. And he has gone, and so he has sent. "Even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Praise God. Go to the 16th chapter there, the 7th verse. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you." That means to your advantage. Amen. Praise God. It's to your advantage. That doesn't register on people. They think, well, Jesus, it'd be better if Jesus was here. Jesus said, it'd be better that I go away. How many of you know Jesus can only be at one place at one time? The Holy Spirit can be in you. I'll go to Russia and he'll go with me. You'll stay here and he'll stay here with you. Praise the Lord. So he said in this 7th verse, "I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away." It's to your advantage. "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." I will send him. Notice Jesus said, the Father will send. He said, I'll pray the Father and the Father will send. And then here he said, I will send. Somebody said, was it the Father or Jesus? And then the answer is yes. How many of they're working together? He's the mediator. Jesus is the mediator between God and man. And he prayed the Father, and the Father in his name sent him. And so Jesus, he came in Jesus' name. Jesus interceded for that and got it. Praise the Lord. And so when the Holy Ghost was poured out on the day of Pentecost, that's proof positive that Jesus made it to the throne and sat down. He got the promise. Proof positive. But he said, if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he'll reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, so forth and so on. But I just wanted you to see those verses because this Holy Spirit that Jesus sent, you might say, well, Jesus isn't here. But really, he is in the Holy Spirit. He's taken up residency on the inside of every one of us. And he's not just there as a hitchhiker, just thumbing a ride. He's got a ministry. Really, this life, the life of the believer, is a life of total dependence on the greater one, the Holy Spirit within us. That's what this life is. It's a life of dependence. Somebody said, well, I'm not going to depend on anyone. Yeah, you don't have enough brains to know you need to depend on somebody greater and bigger than you. People say, well, that religion is just a crutch. Well, I need help. And if you had a brain cell, you'd know you need help too. People that, I don't need any help, well, that's just because they're dumb. You don't know everything, but God has sent a helper that does know everything. In fact, he knows the future better than you know the past. And he'll prepare you for what's to come. Jesus said so. Whenever he's come, he'll show you things to come. And part of that showing you things to come is to prepare you for what's coming. And so you can be the head in every situation, not the tail. You can be prepared for whatever comes in life because you respond and have time fellowshipping with the greater one in you, and he starts getting you ready. Whether it's the plan of the devil, whether it's the plan of God, whether it's whatever's ahead, the Holy Spirit is in there to get you ready for it. Hallelujah. John 7:37, you can look there or just listen. The Bible says in John 7:37 about Jesus and the Holy Spirit being poured out. Let's just start reading in verse number 37. "The last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spoke he of the Spirit." The Bible calls him the Comforter. "Which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. That's another verse that says when Jesus ascended up, he was glorified, ascended up and sat down. He besought the Father and the Father sent the Holy Ghost. And that's why he came, is because Jesus made it to the throne and came back, or sent the Holy Spirit back. Isn't that good news? Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. John said, whenever he was baptizing in water, I baptize in water. There's one coming after me who's mightier than I. I'm not worthy to unloose his shoe latches, you know. And he said, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Now, let's think about this word comforter. In the word in the Greek, it's parakletos. It's used talking about both Jesus in the Bible. In 1 John 2:1, it talks about if any man sin, we have the King James says, an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Same Greek word, parakletos. Somebody said, is Jesus the helper? Is Jesus the advocate? Is he the one called along beside to help? Or is the Holy Ghost the one called alongside to help? Well, you might think of it this way. Jesus is your helper in heaven. The Holy Ghost is your helper on earth. Amen. In one sense of the way you could say it. Of course, Jesus in the Holy Spirit is helping you on earth anyhow. But see, they're all one. You know, they're working together. How many of you understand that? And so this word, it means someone called along to help, such as in an attorney for the defense. Someone who advocates or supports you and defends you. Like an attorney would come along and say, well, here's some advice on how to answer in the court, you know, and so forth and so on. Because based on the law, here's the way you should state this, so forth and so on. And so that's what the Holy Spirit is. He's the one that before you speak, you ought to turn to and listen to him. And, oh, yeah, okay. And answer the way he says to answer. Oh, yeah. And he'll make you brilliant. Even if you don't consider yourself brilliant, he'll make you brilliant. He'll make you wise in business. He'll make you wise in marriage. He'll make you brilliant to shut up whenever you need to shut up and look intelligent even though you're not. I mean, in him you are. You know? He'll just make you, I spent time with family last week, and there's things that would be said. I'm thinking I'd start stewing inside, like, that's not true. But I just, by the brilliance of the Holy Ghost, shut up. Like in one situation, I shut up, and the next morning I had a chance to say something, and everybody's like, yeah, really, that's good. Yeah, I love you. Yeah. And what they didn't know is I cut their legs out from what they said yesterday.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, but it was all in love. It wasn't accusation. It was just. My flesh wanted to rile up and say, that ain't true. Don't let me get in a fight, you know. How many of you know it just goes better when you look down in here before you talk? And so the Holy Spirit is our comforter. He's our advocate. He's your counsel. You remember, you know, if you've ever been to court for anything, you got a counsel there, they call him. It's a lawyer, you know. He's our counsel. He's the one that aids us in knowing what to do and what to say. Yes. Praise God. He's the one that pleads on our behalf. He'll even get up and speak for us. Amen. Praise God. You can pray in tongues and the Holy Ghost is helping you pray something out. William Berkeley commentary says, the Holy Spirit gives the kind of comfort, consolation, and consolation in distress that keeps a man on his feet when left to himself, he would otherwise have collapsed. That's me. Otherwise would have collapsed. It's the kind of comfort that enables a man to pass the breaking point and not break. Remember the Bible said in Ephesians 3:16, we are strengthened with might by the Holy Spirit in the inner man. What keeps you up whenever other people fall apart? When all that pressure's coming against you. What makes you keep answering the bell and getting up in the morning and say, here we go in the name of Jesus. It's not just your grit. It's just not your willpower. Over and over again, it's because you went past the breaking point because someone was in there strengthening you, saying and putting something on the inside of you that enables you Say it. Say to your neighbor, enables you to stand and not give up. Praise God. Pass that breaking point and not break. Other people wonder why you haven't collapsed. You know what I mean by collapse? I mean, you had a nervous breakdown kind of thing. I mean, like, all that's coming against them, why haven't they fallen apart? It's because someone on the inside just keeps comforting us, giving us the answers, strengthening us, counseling us, reminding us that greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Yeah, and we come through. We come through. We come through. Because if He's greater than the one coming against us, then we're bound to win every single time. Oh, I love it. How many of you know one way He comforts you is just reminding you of what the Word says? The Bible said in Romans 15:4, we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The Holy Ghost will remind you of something that was preached in church. The Holy Ghost will remind you of something you read in your Bible 3 months ago. Or even 2 years, 5 years, 10 years ago. Forgot all about it. He'll bring it to your remembrance. All of a sudden you'll remember, clearly remember a service that was conducted here. You know, all services flow together after a while, and you know, the natural mind might not remember where that was. But you'll remember, you'll be saying, Lord, help me. He'll give you a clear remembrance of a service, and you'll go back and you'll find that CD or find Michelle to get you that CD. And before you know it, here you are listening to, oh, this is what I needed. That's the greater one in you, reminding you, comforting you through the Scriptures. Hallelujah. Teaching you the Word, bringing it back to your remembrance. I like that. How many of you have had that happen many, many times? People look for comfort in all kinds of sources. They look for somebody to pat them on the back or something, you know, in the middle of their test or their trial. But you don't need emotional comfort. You need real answers. You understand what I'm talking about? Amen. How many of you know that whenever everybody else goes away and you go home and go to bed, how many of you know they might not be there, but this comforter is there. He stays with you. He won't leave you nor forsake you. And he'll be there right there. He's on the job. He has a ministry and he will stick with that ministry. Hallelujah. Remember back there in John 14, it said there that I'll not leave you. King James says comfortless. The Amplified, I believe, says orphaned. I'll not leave you orphaned. How many of you know that gives us a picture? You know, someone who's orphaned, a child who's orphaned, they don't have someone to train them to succeed in life. You know, they're going to have a lot of things that they don't know because nobody trained them. And they were just orphaned and nobody really taught them how to live. But if you and I will listen to the counselor inside of us, the Holy Spirit, the comforter on the inside of us, our life won't look like nobody's helping us. It won't. It won't look like we're, you know, been rode hard and put away wet. And just ain't nobody there. Nobody's there to help us. Nobody loves us. Our life won't look like. It'll look like somebody's taking care of them. That's what he's talking about. Amen. But how many of you know the reason that a lot of folks live as an orphan or their life looks all orphaned is not because the comforter and the counselor and the helper and the standby and the strengthener and so forth is not in there. It's that they've never been taught the Word to look to Him. Everything He is has to be looked to. How many of you know everything God is, He is in you? But you have to look to Him. It is a bad mental habit to go through life mental or just living out of the emotions. Bad habit. Break that habit because you'll look just like the world. Your life will look just like the world if you never get the Word in you, get your mind renewed to the one who is your helper. He lives on the inside of you and He's in there to put you over in life. You can come up against impossible situations and just sail right through it by making the right choices, by listening to the teacher, by responding to what he says to you in the Word, how he reminds you of the Word. You can sail right on through it, and people go, that's a marvel. How did they do that? And make it look easy. Because we look to him rather than look to worry, look to fear, look to doubt, get all in the mental realm, you know, all frantic, run around like a chicken with a head cut off. Listen, I'm getting bold now. Don't glamorize drama. The counselor, the helper on the inside of you is not promoting that. He's not in there making you all dramatic. You're like, ah! You're acting like an orphan. You have someone to take care of you and keep you cool as a cucumber in the midst of the most hellish situations. You're cool because I got the answer. I got the answer. I heard from heaven. I know what to do. The counselor in there, he spoke to me, and I'm sticking with my answer. And that is my final answer. Yeah, but what about? That is my final answer. And I'm not into drama. People that are all dramatic and they get, you know, they get all unsettled when tests or trials come or the devil goes boo or something goes bump in the night. They're looking, their attention's on that rather than their attention being down in here. Because if you look down in here, you'll have comfort. You won't act that way. Comforted people don't act that way. Feel mean on the devil this morning. I said comforted people. People that look to the comforter don't act all frantic in the tests and trials of life. Yeah, but the doctor said and the lawyer said. What did the Holy Ghost say? Someone else is talking too. And he's on your side. He's your defense. He's your answer giver. Praise God. Praise God. And just keep on giving his answer rather than everything that. Stop being the devil's mouthpiece. Everything the devil says, you repeat it. Don't do that. Why don't you repeat what he's saying down in here? Well, I don't know what he's saying. Well, he's in there whether you know it or not. He's on the job. The Bible didn't say pray that he'll comfort you. He said that's who he is. That's who he is. You don't have to ask him to be. You just have to tap into it. So that's why people's lives look all orphan is because he's in there, but they've not been taught the word. They've not got their mind renewed. They have a rut, before they got saved, or maybe even after they got saved, they developed a rut of going to the emotions and going to the mind rather than going to the teacher, going to the counselor. Amen. Develop the habit in the crisis of life. The first thing you do, not the second, not the third, not after you've cried for a day or 3 days. First thing you do is you turn your heart toward the greater one. You look on the inside. He's in there to give you the answers. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So when your mind is renewed, that's the first thing you'll do. When your mind is unrenewed, you'll go about living in the emotional, mental realm for a while until you get back to church again. Oh, yeah, I remember. You remember whenever Pharaoh told Moses, pray for us that these frogs go. And Moses said, when do you want the frogs to go? And he said, tomorrow. A lot of people are putting off till tomorrow what they could have today. If they would just unhook from that mental emotion around and look down on the inside. The old hymn says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And that prayer is not a... God, help me, help me. That prayer is a prayer casting our care over on the Lord, looking to the one on the inside who has all the answers. Oh, I done did it. I preached myself happy. Amen. So people have developed that bad habit of drawing on the mental emotional realm. Sometimes they do it just because they like attention. That's childish. You ought not be somebody who's always drawing attention to yourself. Always in a drama, always in a crisis. Well, it just seems like, you know, it's not fair. My life is so hard. And other people's not. It's not so. It's not that your life is so hard. It's that you haven't turned to the helper. With his help, it's easy. Easy peasy. Because you don't take the care, you don't take the worry. Well, what's going to happen? You don't fret about the future, because the one who knows the future better than you know the past said he will prepare you and show you things to come. So you can go to bed at night and cut Z's, because he's got it. Even though my mind doesn't understand it all, he's got it. God's helping somebody in here this morning. I said, God's helping somebody in here this morning. And so don't live out of that emotional realm. If you get entrenched in that emotional realm, you can get out. But the more entrenched you get, the longer and harder it's going to be. It doesn't have to take long. You can just make a switch. But whenever you're, listen, when you've got a rut going on, it takes time to get out of that sometimes. But you can do it. Tell your neighbor, you can do it. Amen. People that get in those ruts, they although God's so close to them, he remains so very far away. I said, he remains so very far away. Hallelujah. God can change that if you'll respond to the word. Amen. Do the joyful work of renewing your mind, of getting the word in you to respond correctly and look to the greater one in the crisis of life. That's your way of escape. And it just seemed like I'm stuck. There is a way of escape. Amen. You alone don't have the power to break that bad habit. But the word that renews your mind will transform you and teach you not to live in that realm, teach you to live out of here and make you, it's like people will think he's a different person or she's a different person. But see, that's the way the renewing of the mind is. It'll transform your life. Yes. Say transform. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to be transformed more and more. How about you? Amen. This is why people say in the circumstances of life, it just seems like God's not talking to me. You want to know why? Because they're in another realm than he's speaking in. They're in this emotional, mental realm. Rather than in the comfort realm. Looking to the comforter, looking to the counselor. Somebody said, I don't know what to do. If you look within, you would. If you look within, you do. You do. So many people, they say, pray for me, I need direction. You could just simply stop and say, what do you have in your heart? Well, really, I already know what to do. But when you're in your head, you don't know what to do, because your head's like mine. It doesn't know everything. But there's someone on the inside that does. And he's assigned to get you through this situation. Oh, I got somebody on my side. God is on my side. If God be for me, who can be against me? Praise God. Praise God. So renew your mind to these things. The reason it seems like God's not talking to you is because you're not in the realm that he's broadcasting. His signal doesn't come to the mental emotional realm. In fact, whenever you're all emotional, you don't hear God. He's talking. He's inside. He's there to counsel. He's there on the job. You think the Holy Spirit has an unemployed sign up on the inside of you? No, he's on the job. He's faithful. He's faithful. You think he's in there going, for hire, for hire, for hire. He's there. He's endeavoring. You don't have to pray that he'll do these things. He's there to do them. But you and I've got to tap in. Remember Proverbs 20, verse 5, it says, counsel's in the heart of a man as deep waters. Man of understanding's got to draw it out. You got to draw it out. And that takes shutting down the mental realm, then the emotional realm, and looking to the greater one within you. Amen. Others don't take his counsel when he talks to their heart. Amen. Because their mind is still on the throne of their lives. It's dominating their spirits. And when the counselor in their spirit rises up to guide them and counsel them and advocate for them and so forth and so on, they disregard it because the mind is in charge. You understand that? It's one thing to be counseled. It's another thing entirely to respond to what he says. Well, praise the Lord. How many have ever gone through a situation and say, I knew not to do that. Before I got into it, I knew inside not to do that. It's one thing for the counselor to tell, to give us direction, but it's another thing to respond to that. As we renew our mind, then our spirit becomes more dominant, and our mind doesn't try to control all our decision-making processes, and we and our mind becomes more yielded to the knowing on the inside. He'll help you in the smallest little things. Yesterday, I had all kinds of things to do. We're trying to get out of town again. And I had to run to the bank and the post office and go to different places, you know. And I said, okay, I got to. And I thought, here's the way I'll go. I'll go this way because it's kind of, you know, a little, here's where this is, here's where this is. So I'll go to this first. And I kept having this prompting on this side, go to the post office second. I'm like, I could turn around and go, I mean, you know. And so I said, oh, I'm just going to follow that. I pulled into the post office and I was pulling up to the door, opened the door and looked on the door, and it closed in just like 3 minutes. I'm like, oh, that would have been a mess if I'd have had to. If I couldn't have got this done before I left for 9 days. Woo! He's in there. He's helping us. Now, that's a small little thing. But listen, he's trying to help us in the smallest of the details of life. I thought they were open for another hour. Well, thank God for the helper. Just a little example. I mean, there's a lot of others, but just that little example. So, the Holy Spirit... it's his ministry within us that we are to depend upon. Depend upon the Spirit's ministry in all its facets. God planned the plan of redemption, and with all its manifold blessings, God planned that. God planned all that. Jesus came to earth to consummate that and that plan of redemption and purchase all those blessings. But it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to manifest those blessings in our lives, to perform them and make them real, number one, within our spirits, number two, in our experiences of life. He'll guide you into all that the Bible says is yours, to where you don't just look in the Bible and see it so, you look around you and hear it is so in my experience. That's the Holy Spirit's ministry. And because of not listening to the Holy Spirit so often, these are the reasons these things don't manifest in people's lives. The counselor tries to get us in to them, guide us into them, but we're like, I can't do that because, you know. Tell your neighbor, it's true. The Holy Spirit is the manifester. He's the one that manifests all these things. But we have to respond to the Spirit to have these things manifest. Amen. Praise God. So, his ministry will keep us from looking all orphaned. How many of you know that includes on you and my countenance? It shouldn't look, you know, we shouldn't be walking around looking like we don't have a friend in the world and nobody to encourage us or count. Somebody said, well, nobody encourages me. Why don't you encourage yourself in the Lord? Look down in here and listen to what he's saying. He'll say, greater is he that's in you than he that's in. Why don't you say what he says? For you know it, you won't be needing encouragement. You'll be out encouraging somebody else. Make that a regular confession. All that comes up out of your spirit, say it. I mean, there's some things maybe it's not to be told to other people and said in public, but you understand what I mean. And that'll comfort you and encourage you. Praise the Lord. So we shouldn't look all orphaned on our countenance. Our finances shouldn't look all orphaned. Our finances should look like, whoa, doggy, somebody taking care of them. Yeah, yeah. Somebody taking care of them. Somebody taking care of them. You know, our Father is good. Did you know that? And it ought to show up in our lives that he's good. He's good. Our lives shouldn't look all orphaned in the area of direction. Well, I just don't know what to do. Are you an orphan? Well, do you have a father? Yeah, well, go to him. Amen. Well, I'm trying to reach him. No, he's down on the inside. Remember, Jesus said, all that the Father hath is mine, he'll take of mine. The Holy Spirit will take of mine and show it unto you. The Greek means transfer, transmit. Yeah. Amen. Transmit. I'm trying to get all the words. Disclose, declare, disclose, and transmit it. Declare means say it. Disclose means reveal it. And transmit it means that's the power to get her done. Declare, disclose, transmit. He'll take whatever is the Father's and pass it on to you. Whew! How that changes life. Rather than saying, I don't know what to do, why don't you make a regular confession? I have direction. Somebody's taking care of me. They're guiding me in all the affairs of life. Amen. And we shouldn't be looking all alone. Praise the Lord. I said, we shouldn't be looking all alone. How many of you know Jesus made the statement, he talked to his disciples, he said, you are going to leave me, but he said, but I won't be alone because the Father is with me. I won't be alone. That ought to be your confession. If you're sitting at home and lonely, all lonely some night, how many of you know, by the way, there's a difference between being alone and lonely? You can be alone as far as people. I'm talking about people. You're never really alone because he's in there. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You're never really alone. Tell your neighbor, you're never really alone. And you certainly don't have to be lonely. How many of you know we appreciate good fellowship with other people, but whenever they're not there, we don't have to sit around all lonely and looking like, you know, we're all orphaned. There's someone on the inside that you can begin to commune with and just have a high time with. Just have a high time. Just get full of God, full of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Listen to Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. If you want to turn there, I'm going to read the Amplified. Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. He, God himself, hath said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. You know what we're going to read here? All of this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Leave you without support. I will not. I will not. I will not in any degree. That means he won't 1%. Not even 1%. In any degree, leave you helpless. Well, I needed help and God didn't give it to me. No, you didn't look to him. Or if you did, you stayed in the mental, emotional realm. I will not, but in any degree, leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you, assuredly not. Then verse 6, so we take comfort. Isn't that his ministry? He's the comforter. We take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. That is a choice, my friend. I've been checking up on myself in this area, and I've been finding myself getting anxious about this, getting anxious about myself. Well, okay, I don't have to do that. That's a wrong choice, isn't that? I know you've never had to check up on yourself, but so we take comfort and encourage and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do unto me? Oh, you big and bad? Yeah. Let me show you somebody bigger. Hey. You can't do anything. You can huff and you can puff. You can spout out threats. You can imagine a mischievous device against me, but you can't pull it off. I've in the spirit, this happened a couple of years ago, in the spirit, I've sensed something in my, I didn't even know what it was, something in my spirit, sort of a warning about something trying to rise up in the church. And I really didn't even know what it was. I just kept praying in the Holy Ghost about it and just say, Father, that'll not prevail against us. I didn't even know what it was. That'll not prevail against us. That'll not prevail against us. That'll not prevail against us. And I kept, but I just pray in the Holy Ghost, pray it out. And eventually I saw it begin to rise. I saw what it was. Then eventually I knew what it was. This thing began to try to rise up in the congregation. But when it started to rise, I said, okay, I see where in the name of Jesus, I bind that. And that thing petered out. It's just like all the power went out of it. It started to rise and then fell apart and it became nothing. The devil imagined it. He planned it. He schemed. I'm gonna. And he tried to make me afraid about it. I said, no, I'm greater is he that's in me. And he showed me what it was, and it all just, and then we were able to, you know, deal with it. It just became nothing. You ought to be ahead of whatever the devil's trying to do. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You got somebody in you on your side. He'll get you through it. Yes, he will. So the Lord, he said, because there he said, therefore we take comfort. You see that? This is in the Amplified of Hebrews 13:6. So we take comfort and are courage and confidently and boldly say. How does the Lord comfort us? Well, with the Holy Spirit, we know. But he gives us his word to put in our mouths. Notice he said, we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say. So what he's saying to us, we take that and lean back on it. Ah, thank you, Father. And then we say it. Then we say what he says. What he says to us, we boldly say that. I will not fear. God has not given me a spirit of fear. See, he'll show you what's really going on in situations. You think it's this thing or that thing, but what it really is in the spirit realm, something totally different. I've talked to people before that you just wanted to get angry at the way they were acting, but you pray for them before you go into the meeting, and when you get in prayer, the Lord shows you they're reacting out of fear to something totally unrelated. And then you get in the meeting in compassion, and you deal with that, and all of a sudden the thing is neutralized, and they stop stirring up stuff in the church. You know, it's amazing. I said, it's amazing. When he gives you the answer, you ever had a hose in the garage? You know, your hose has been in the garage all winter, right? You get it out to water the yard this spring, and it's all knots and everything. You ever notice that? And so you're looking for the end and so forth. You ever got to the place where you see where exactly what's doing it all, and you just pull on that, and the whole thing just falls out? That's the way the Holy Spirit's answers will be to the problems and tests and trials of life. When you get in the Spirit and listen to what he says, the counselor says is really the issue, really what is really going on, he gives you the answer, and so you just pull on that, and it just all falls into place. I found that work in marriage. You want to get frustrated at your spouse. And you get in prayer and the Lord shows you what's really going on. You go, oh, ringy dingy. Yeah. Hallelujah. We're just dependent on him. I said, we're just dependent on him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The comforter is a comforter with power. In other words, he's a fortress while he's comforting you. He's not just real soft. He's soft, but he's very strong. You remember Richard Sigmund's book? He talked about Jesus taking him in. I think at one point he picked him up and carried him. He said Jesus was tender and yet very strong. He's very strong. It's like he was a fortress. Of course he is. Praise the Lord. That's the way the Holy Ghost is. Learn to look to him. I said learn to look to him. Hallelujah. He'll abide with you forever. Develop the habit of looking down on the inside for the help you need, the fellowship you need, the answers you need, the strength you need, the wisdom you need, the guidance you need, everything you need. You need somebody to stand up for you, look on the inside. Learn to fellowship with him. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 13:14 in the Amplified. We're getting close to beginning to close. You getting anything out of this?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm going to lean back on the Holy Ghost more in my life than I ever have.
Yes, sir.
This is 2 Corinthians 13:14 in the Amplified. The grace, favor, and spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, listen to this, and the presence and fellowship, the communion and sharing together. I like that, sharing together. And participation in the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. So be it. So the Holy Ghost has, he wants to commune with you. That means he wants to fellowship with you. And in that fellowship, he'll give you answers. He'll pull the curtains back and you'll understand things in your life, situations, why they've been that way for years. And when you see it, it's so simple. Because he's not complicated. He's the Spirit of truth. It might not always be what you wanted, but it will be the truth. It will be the answer. There's things the Holy Ghost has said to me. I remember a situation. I was just talking to somebody recently about this situation where the Lord keeps telling me about a particular situation that's just not going right for somebody. Just, and the Spirit of God keeps saying to me, they're beyond their faith. They're beyond their faith. They're beyond their faith. They're beyond, he's been saying that for 2 years. Well, not quite 2 years. Beyond their faith.
Come on.
You try to talk to them. No, the Lord. Well, okay. Hard head. It's going to be the truth, but it might not be what you want to hear. Huh? It might not be what you want to hear, but it will be the answer, whether complimentary or not. Sometimes the way he talks to me, I'm like, it's so true. Almost painfully true. But it is true. And to try to push that counsel away and act like it's not true is to reject his help. Learn to commune with him and listen to him. If he's going to commune with you and share things together with you and participate, notice what he said here, participation of the Holy Ghost, then you're going to have to listen to him. I said you're going to have to listen to him. Hallelujah. But to experience this communion of the Holy Ghost, you have to get out of the mental, emotional realm. You can't go to prayer all, Lord, it's so terrible. The devil said this. He doesn't want to hear what the devil said. Stop telling him what the devil said. Why don't you take to him what he said? Why don't you take to him what the counselor's advising you to say? You're in a court case. You have a prosecuting attorney over here trying to take you out, and you have an advocate for the defense inside of you trying to tell you, say this, say this, say this. And what you say is going to determine whether you're going to get out of this situation or go further into the problem. Listen to him. Participate with what he's saying. Hallelujah. Get out of that emotional, mental realm. He comforts from the spirit of man. Don't look for someone to pet you in your circumstances and cry with you. Get all emotional and try to get comfort out of that. That is short-lived, and it's not where your answers really are. Amen. Don't look for that emotional thing. Come up and draw from the Spirit. He'll give you your real answers. There's three aspects of our relationship with God in the Bible. Number one, it says God's for us. Number two, it says God is with us. Number three, God is in us. The Old Testament had God is for us and God is with us. But they didn't have what we got. We have God for us, God with us, but we got him for us, with us, in us. I said, we've got him in us. That knowledge ought to calm and settle your heart and mind when you walk through tests and trials. Amen. When Jesus died, the veil was rent and the presence of God came out of that temple and now he lives in us. Isn't that right? The Bible said in the Old Testament, Psalm 118, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Hebrews quoted that. We read that verse in Hebrews. Isn't that right? He takes the part with me against the enemy. I like that. So he's on my side. He's with me against all that the enemy's trying to do to me and through me and around me and all of that. He's with me to defend me against those attacks. Praise God. You ought to know that. God's with you, but he's for you. If God be for us, Romans 8:31, who can be against us? You could say it this way. Who successfully can set a trap, try to defeat us and take us out? Not going to happen, honey. If we learn to look to him. Some of you are just now coming to church. That guarantees your success. If God's on your side, you're sure to win in life. I mean, you got to look to him, you understand. And you can be utterly fearless, whatever comes against you. You don't get into all that worry and fear, and you just say, oh, he that began a good work in me will be faithful to complete it. He's not brought me this far to leave me. He's not kept me all these years to forsake me now in this. You ever had the devil say, you're not going to get out of this one. You got out of all those other ones. That's a lie. Amen. Yeah, but I just don't feel like God's for me or with me or in me. Let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a quick question? I'm going to give you a choice which one you want. You can have one or two. Pick which one you want. Do you want to feel like you have $1 million? Or would you like to have $1 million? Case closed. Did you get it? Would you like to feel like the greater one's in you, counseling you, or would you like to actually have the counselor on the inside of you? I'd rather have it than feel it. And how do I know I have it? I have it because the Word says I have it. It's a faith thing. It's a faith thing. Hallelujah. No matter how difficult the situation gets, no matter if it seems like a dark cloud hanging over you, and it just looks bad for now until your mother-in-law moves out, you know? It's just bad. Trying to keep some of you engaged here. It doesn't matter all that. Hallelujah. Then the second one, you know, he's for us, but he's with us. Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'm with you always. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Express some faith in that fact. Would you do that? Would you express some faith in that fact rather than get all down in the dumps and need somebody to pump you back up? It'll hinder your faith to always depend on other people to comfort you, help you, encourage you. Come on now. It's time to grow up and be, scriptural Christians. Well, it's going over big this morning. Praise the Lord. So no matter what the circumstances may be, if you're a Christian, the Lord is with you. He's with you to put you over. That's what he's with you to do. And so acknowledge the helper within you. In all your ways, acknowledge him, Bible said. How many of you know acknowledge the Holy Spirit who's living on the inside of you? Acknowledge his counsel. He's my counsel. He's my answer. He's my wisdom. He's the guide. People run around all frantic and worried, look like they don't have anybody to take care of them. Christians shouldn't act that way. If they'd get quiet and depend on the one who's on the inside to guide them, they'd get answers and come out of their prayer closet shouting rather than crying. They'd come out shouting. They wouldn't act so dramatic. You wouldn't be able to tell they're going through anything because they've been in prayer and they got what they needed and they come out and then the Holy Ghost says, I got this, I got this. I got this, I got this. I'm in you and you got this. He, ha, ha, ha. Hallelujah. So break the habit of being dramatic. You know what I mean by that? He's got answers. When you go to him, to the counselor, he'll counsel you with answers, and you won't have questions, you'll have answers. And when you got answers, you're like, oh, okay, I got it. I know what to do. Even though your mind says, that doesn't make sense, you'll say, no, that is the answer. Remember, the Holy Spirit is in you. He's the anointing you received of him abides in you. You don't need any man to teach you. The same anointing teaches you of all things. And his truth and is no lie. Truth and no truth, truth, truth. Yeah. It is the truth.
That's right.
It is the truth. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Express some belief in that truth. Yes, express some confidence that he told me the truth. Yeah. Glory. Glory. I said glory, glory, glory. Learn to draw that help out of you in the crisis of life. It'll change you dramatically. You'll look so different. Life will be so different, so much better. Look to Him and respond to Him, and it'll settle you down. Yes. It'll encourage and strengthen you. And then, of course, He's in us. This is the good part, the New Testament part. Yes. You know, under the Old Covenant, they had Him with them and for them, but we have a better covenant established upon better promises. Yes. The Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in temples made with stone anymore, like the temple, but He dwells in us. He was with Israel and for Israel, but they didn't have Him in them. Today we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So look to Him and acknowledge His ministry. Praise God. Amen. Now, are you ready? I'm almost done. If you and I were really conscious of the greater one in us, then we would have no fear of the devil whatsoever. Because the Holy Spirit would reveal us that He's this little wee defeated dude. And the greater one lives on the inside of us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. When you come up to things that could be troubling, they look like, oh, this is a big deal. I've come up to situations that look like a big deal. And I get in prayer, and the Holy Ghost doesn't think it's a big deal. My mind was going, whoa, 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 uh-oh, whoa, whoa. My mind's, how many of your minds ever tripped out like that? You get in prayer, and you look on the inside, and He said, it's just like it's nothing. And within a day, it passes, and it wasn't anything. See, He knew that.
Amen.
I said, He knew that. What comfort that is to have the one who knows everything. And when your mind's going, whoa, 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 He goes, it's no big deal. You go, ah, praise God. And even if it isn't a big deal and you got an alarm, you have the authority of the believer to deal with it. And then you get back into peace and say, no weapon formed. It reminds you of that verse. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Write these two verses down. I don't have time. I'm out of time. Psalm 25:14. And then Proverbs 3, verse number 32. Proverbs 3, verse number 32. Both of those are good in the King James, but read them in the Amplified, and you'll find that the secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord have they who fear and revere and worship Him. He will show them His covenant and reveal to them deep and inner meaning. It's deep and inner meaning. Proverbs says there in that verse, He'll take us into the confidential communion and secret counsel of the Lord. I'll tell you, there's a place in God where your mind's going, I don't know what to do. And you get into His presence and the counselor starts rising up within you. He'll pull you aside and say, let me tell you something in confidence. Come here, come here, come here. Come here, come here. Not everybody knows this, but you're going, whoa. And you walk back out in that situation and you act different. I know He took me into His confidence. I know some things. Don't look at me in that old white boy look. You know, I know some things. You just act different. You drive in the car different, you know. And the devil's going, yakety yak, yak. And you go, I know some things. I know some. Besides, I don't just know some things. I know somebody. I know somebody. And He told me some things. And I know how this is going to turn out. Yeah, and you're going to wish you had never tried that. Praise the Lord. Spend time drawing on Him and His counsel, and you'll be ahead of the devil every single time. He'll go, okay, all these demons in hell, okay, we're going to plan this, we're going to do this, and we're going to trap him and so forth and so on. And they make their trap, and they get down in their trap, and they put it right on where you're coming. They're down in there waiting for you to fall into it, and they're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. Waiting and waiting and waiting. And they have to eat lunch, and they keep waiting. And where is he? And they look up to look and find they can't see you. How'd you miss this trap? Because we was walking along, and the Holy Ghost goes, go left. Totally missed the devil's plans. What a life we can live. Let's stand to our feet and give God some praise this morning. Thank God for the counselor on the inside. You can have peace about some of the most traumatic, you know, outwardly traumatic situations because you've heard from heaven regarding it. Doesn't that just settle you? And you can hook your faith to that. What the Spirit of God is saying in this situation, you can hook your faith to that and others not even realize you're going through it. But boy, your mind's going, this could be serious. Pastor Debbie just had some attacks against her body, and the mind's going, this could be serious. I mean, some of the things the doctors were saying was like, whoa. But I told Pastor Debbie after praying about it, I said, I don't get an alarm about this. I don't get an alarm at all about it. In other words, the Holy Ghost said, it's nothing. False evidence. False news. False news. She went and got another test, and the doctor said, man, your heart's strong. You've never had a... They basically were trying to say you have heart damage, you had some sort of heart thing that happened to you, heart attack or something like that. And I don't get alarmed about this. Went to the doctor. No, it's all... That showed up wrong. It's not there. In fact, they said, you got a strong heart. Strong heart. Praise the Lord. So I could have wasted two or three days there worrying... I need my wife, Lord. Or I could have just looked to the counselor inside, which I decided to do, and say, Lord, what about this? He's go, nothing. It's nothing. Even if it would have been something, we have a healing Jesus. And it would have still been nothing. Even if it would have been something, God would have, by listening to the counselor, turned it into nothing. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, we always win because we follow that counsel on the inside. Praise the Lord. Isn't it better to just live trusting Him? You can go as much by what He doesn't say as what He does say. When all this came up, I was like, well, one of the first things I thought about was, I had no warning about this. I had nothing told me something's coming. I mean, and so I comforted myself in that. If it would have been a deal, he would have been told. He would have been preparing me, preparing her. But there was nothing. So I go as much by what he doesn't say as what he does say. If there's something ahead, he'll tell you. But it won't be fear. It'll be, okay, learn to practice peace. Remember Pastor Nancy before Dr. Frank, learn to practice peace. Practice peace. And so he was preparing her. He's that good. Tell your neighbor, he's that good. He's that good. He's that good. He's that good to you. He's that good to you. He's for you. He's on your side. I don't even remember the context, so it might be carnal. I don't remember, you know, that old song, Hit Me With Your Best Shot. I don't remember what the context, if it was carnal, forgive me, but I just think that when the devil's saying, you go ahead, hit me with your best shot. It'll be as nothing compared to the greater one that lives on the inside of me. Hallelujah. Give God a shout of praise this morning. Yeah. Victory. Victory. Praise God. Amen. Did you get anything out of the word this morning? I am buoyed up on the inside. My faith is high. I'm ready for anything the devil brings. I'm not inviting it, but if he wants to show up, you're going to wish you hadn't done it. You know what I'm talking about? Go ahead.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Eberle's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org. or call us at 319-366-2147. Or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.